Second hour here, Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. In the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I'm Joe Rex Show. Nick Keyser producing. And we've got Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie Stanley for a couple more days.
Good to be here. I am sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. If your dogs are digging up the grass or rolling in the mud, consider a turf play area with superior drainage. Just head to nashville.grass365.com for more information.
And Robbie and Rex Show is presented by TJ Anderson Homes. Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. So we're talking quarterbacks, but I do need to get to this text, PK. You know, preseason football. Do not overreact. Do not overreact positively. Do not overreact negatively.
Always.
I know it's the this is an unnamed texter. I know it's the first game of the preseason, but I'm worried because I saw basically every major flaw we had last year in this game. Players getting hurt, bad special teams, terrible offensive line play, and giving up monster plays on defense. Let me address the last one. The defense didn't play. I mean, that's why, like you mentioned earlier, PK, like Vrabel. I mean, look, you still want your guys out there who are on the field to tackle and like look like they're NFL players, but the defense didn't play.
One starter, conceivably, in Jack Gibbons.
Yeah, so you gotta just dismiss that one. Terrible offensive line play. The ones offensive line had a good series and then got out of there. The twos, yeah, I mean it's a concern. It's a concern if they have to get into their depth. You agree on bad special teams?
I thought it was okay.
Vrabel didn't like Stonehouse.
He gets a jab in at
he rips punters a lot.
Yeah.
He's a punter ripping coach, isn't he? That Mike Vrabel.
I mean, just without going and looking at the stats, and I don't know if you did you feel like you had any feelings about the punting?
I still think, you know, with Stonehouse it's still he's bombing it, but can he get better a little bit, you know, get a little bit more precise at times, you know? I think that's what they're looking for. Meanwhile, we haven't talked about this. You know, Caleb Shudak made his 41-yarder, but he pushed it
bad.
To the point that it might not be good from 45. And Wolf pushes his 48-yarder and misses it. And
most significant about Shudak is he put a kickoff out of bounds to start the second half. That's a bad play.
Don't want that either. So
give the team the ball at the 40, and they went down and kicked the field goal.
So from that perspective with the special teams, it is a concern. I mean, you want these guys to – you want somebody to claim the job. You're like, I'm ready. Right down the middle, no problem. And they're a little shaky.
Both.
Yeah. So
even the make. But the make is a make. I mean, but yeah, Vrabel talked last week about wanting, you know, straight kicks. Shudak's was not a straight kick. It was moving.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Vrabel wants to go back to the old days, you know, the straight-on kicker. You know, what was the donkey in the Disney movie? What was that? You know what I'm talking about.
I know the donkey in the Disney movie, but
straight-on. There's no soccer kick. No, I'm not talking about Shrek. I'm talking about the 70s, the donkey field goal kicker.
Oh,
come on.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dude, did you watch the Apple Dumpling Game?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't.
Which Mountain or when Escape from Which Mountain? Come on,
as I often said to Chad Withrow, who was the movie expert on my old show, yes, I watched the film. No, I didn't memorize it.
Gus, thank you. I mean, Nick knows it's Gus, the field goal kicking mule. My goodness.
You don't know it's Gus.
Well, yeah, but I remember the, you know, great scene.
Nick knows, like everybody knows. Gus, like which I couldn't tell you.
How about the cat from outer space? I mean, there's just so many from the late 70s. All right, here's Dustin from Hopkinsville. The stats look better for Willis, but after the first series, I thought Levis looked more poised in the pocket. Willis had Sharp, who looked legit AF. Agree. Levis had Haskins, who was mediocre. Levis took sacks instead of trying to throw, and the line was trash, more so for Levis. Good zip on the ball. The last throw by him kind of evened it. This is a long text, I'm sorry. Willis did look much better than last year, but as the game went on, looked more like vintage Willis.
First off, when a guy plays two games and one season, there's no such thing as vintage version of that guy. Vintage.
Right.
It doesn't only mean old, it means like a lot of old.
Yeah, thank you for the texter who mentioned that the donkey's name was Gus. Gus with Don Knotts, of course. Of course Don Knotts is in the movie.
Of course. You say all the names, And Joe will say, of course, yes, yes.
But you rip, I mean, come on, Don Knotts is in like half of those movies. And then that one guy whose name I forget. But like,
another guy whose name
I'm going to find it.
Joe knows all of this stuff except for all of this stuff.
Like the dad and the cat from outer space is like the dude who was in like all the Disney movies, and I don't think he got any other work in Hollywood, but I'll find his name. All right, I know it's overreaction, but if any one of our starters goes down, we're probably going to be in pretty bad shape. Sorry for the negativity. Hey, it's fine to be negative. I'm just saying, like don't worry about like the monster plays on defense in this game, you know?
No, but look, we've talked depth, and yeah. There are certain starters that would absolutely kill them. Tannehill, for one. Chig, I think, is a vital, vital piece where the drop-off after Okonkwo would be terrible at tight end. And you could go through a Skoronski would be a death blow because he's looking very much like he would be the best offensive lineman. And we could keep going here. Any one of the front four defensive guys.
Yeah, but I get like if you want to do that, we could start going around the league too. You know, I mean, certainly some.
Well, teams every team has four or five guys that if you lose them, you've got substantial drop off.
Yes. By the way, Frank in The Cat from Outer Space, played by Ken Berry. Ken Berry was in like every Disney movie. Thank you. So, right now, PK, do you think Will Levis will catch Malik Willis this preseason and be the backup quarterback for the Tennessee Titans this season?
Right now, it doesn't feel like it, but there's still a lot of time, and he should. My feeling is that he should.
Okay, so if he doesn't.
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't. I think it's a disappointment if he doesn't.
What if he doesn't because Malik Willis builds on Saturday, which I do think was overall positive, and keeps getting better and just holds him off, and they're both getting better, but Willis just a little bit better?
It'll still be disappointing.
Because he was drafted, moved up in the second round.
That your SEC guy who's drafted around higher, who you traded up for, who was highly rated coming into the draft and underdrafted according to most people, it can't overtake a guy who didn't have to read much in high school, et cetera, et cetera. I think it would rate as a disappointment. I don't think the Titans would think that way, but I certainly think that way.
You know, the thing is, I mean, Malik Willis, yeah.
Titans will take what they can get, and they want the you know one of them to be equipped to do it.
He went in the third round, and Willis, you know, Willis goes in the third round, Levis in the second round. Willis has a year head start. Now, look, Levis now, if you want to compare Levis now to Willis a year ago, he's much better. But That's to be expected. Levis is supposed to be much more ready for this league and offenses in this league because of what he did in college, right?
So I still feel like, and this still has to shake out to me, and I'm probably not going to articulate it as well as I need to, but I think Levis's mindset seems, I don't want to say better, but you're talking about where they are at this stage, like where Malik Willis was a year ago versus Levis. It's not just in terms of play, but it's in terms of mindset. I mean, Levis's ability to assess his performance and talk through his mistakes and his understanding of the offense and all of that is compared to the physical play is way, way, way better. And I think it's better than Willis now a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, he's good at articulating like the analysis of himself and kind of now, again, like you said, Troy Williams said both those guys coming off the field, they're saying it when it matters to Tim Kelly and I get it. I do. Well, I won't articulate it well either, but like I do feel at times, it still felt like at times like Levis's command was good for a rookie. Now, again, sometimes you're holding it too long, you're getting sacked. He missed some throws. They both missed some throws. But I think I think it was still more promising than not for Levis, as long as you have your expectations are in line. I'm with you though. Like you want to see in the next almost month, you want to see some big gains. And I don't know if we will or not.
And what kind of jump? I think it's more likely also. I mean, we've seen Willis's jump, right, is from last year to this year. I think Levis's jump will be week to week. Like, he's going to get the first team series next week, you would presume. What's he do with it?
Right. Yeah, and that is because the best drive of the day, Tyjae Spears and the one's offensive line were involved, and Levis did not have that. By the way, on the text line, Dean Jones. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of, Dean Jones, the absolute Disney superstar. That guy had, like, lifetime contract with Disney.
So
he was, like, the dad in, like, a million, you know, movies.
So between Nick and the text line, we've gotten all five people that you were thinking of, none of whom you could remember?
Yes, that's exactly right. Tim Conway, yes, Tim Conway was in some of those movies. I believe the Apple Dump game, but that's not who I was thinking of. All right, we come back. More on the quarterbacks. I've got a thought that I still haven't unveiled on them. Next, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106 through the game. Tune in to the Chase McCabe Show and Caroline Willie and D-Mace today as both shows broadcast live from Titans training camp. They'll get player interviews and deliver latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, Caldwell Vet Clinic, and the new Cumberland Development. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Showed, 102.5, 106 through the game. Joe Rex Showed here. Paul Garski in for Robbie Stanley.
Nashville Grass 365 is kind enough to be sponsoring my time here for a playground or high traffic area. Their sealed turf, superior synthetic grass is a perfect solution. Just go to nashville.grass365.com to find more details.
Okay, so I got a question for you, another question related to Will Levis. I was not here because, like, the last time the Titans have had a quote-unquote first-round rookie, Will Levis was, you know, pick 33, but close. The closest to this, the last time, 2015, 8 years ago. I wasn't here. I got here Marcus Mariota's second year. So compare Marcus Mariota's, granted, very bad football team, that 2015 team, although he had a perfect QB rating in his debut. But Marcus Mariota, think back to his camp as a rookie, what you saw from him, and compare it to what you're seeing from Will Levis right now.
I am not going to remember at all. I'll go back tonight and read, and we could touch on it tomorrow.
So you can't even, like, just a off the top of your head impression. You don't remember just even, like, overall pretty good, not great. Whatever.
I think, you know, everybody was upbeat about it because we were coming off such, watching such terrible football. So everything was about hope and optimism. But as for how he played precisely in his, you know, first preseason, I'm not a guy with a good memory for such things.
So, like I said, you know, you can look back at his rookie year, again, that's, he's going to start. It's like Anthony Richardson in Indy. I mean, I don't see any reason why. If you have, like here, you have a good quarterback who is a starter who can win you games and could possibly win you the division, right? And this is good for both of those guys to be behind Ryan Tannehill and observe him. And, like, you want to be more like that guy. You're not as good as that guy. Watch him. Learn from him. You know, Anthony Richardson, what's he going to get from little Gardner? You know, it's like, just put him out there. He's going to make mistakes. So he's in the Mariota position. I don't think they're going to be good at all. Maybe you disagree.
I don't
with
know.
Me.
I don't either.
So
I don't think he's going to be, good ever.
No, well, oh, really? Okay, so you're down on him altogether. I'm not at all there.
No, name me, you know, quarterbacks who didn't really do anything in college who do stuff in the pros.
Well, see, I don't. Again, I am biased by, and I've said this many times on the program, I'll say it again, I am biased by what I see in person. He looked like an incredible quarterback at Tennessee this year. He was fantastic. Like, the throws he was making, he almost won that. He almost brought him all the way back when they were getting destroyed. You know, their defense couldn't keep up. I also watch other games where it's like, ew, boy, yeah, he needs another year in college. It just, I hear what you're saying, but I don't rule out that he could make huge gains. Again, like Josh Allen, Everybody's all gaga about him in college. He plays Iowa, which is just awful. And I'm like, and then he gets in the league. And you're like, what were they doing? This guy's like an H-back. And we saw what happened. So, I think Josh Allen is the answer to a lot of
major
questions. I know. Well, sure. I mean, I would agree that if Richardson becomes a great NFL quarterback, then he would then be an outlier as well. But I don't know. I'm intrigued. Either way, this year, he's not going to be very good. They're not going to be very good. But fine. Learn, take your lumps, all that stuff. I mean, here, I think it's still a better situation to be able to actually be behind someone good.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then try to grow from that. But, yeah, like Dustin says, lights out rookie year. Yeah, well, he had the best QB rating. Again, that opener was Winston against Mariota. I mean, you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I remember the excitement. I was like, oh, man, because I got to see Mariota in college live in a Michigan State-Oregon game at Oregon, which got him my Heisman vote. I mean, he was incredible. So I was bullish on that guy being great. It's like he's going to be that guy who bucks the whole, you can't come out of that offense and be great in the NFL. But we know how that worked
out. Then he wasn't.
We know how that worked out. You know why? Because it almost never works out. I mean, like it's very unlikely. I'm big on Bryce Young, but I wouldn't bet on any of these other quarterbacks being what people hope they are when they draft them, right? That's the thing. I mean, the odds are very strongly against you.
I won't be surprised if none of these four are good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm big on Bryce Young. Bryce Young stays in one piece. Did you see the hit he took the other day?
Big on him. I think you're at least subconsciously commenting on his height every time you use the word big.
Yeah, well, did you see the hit he took?
I did not.
I mean, it was a total, like, full weight-bearing landing on a player, and it wasn't flagged, which is insane to me. But took the hit, got up, he was fine. That's what it's all about with him. And I understand the concerns about him holding up. I think he's got everything you need to be a great quarterback. These quarterbacks this week, what's the value? What are you looking for? You think it will be Levis in the game?
I don't see how. I don't see how it can't be. And I was skeptical of the flip flop strategy, but I think it's the right thing to do. And I thought Vrabel explained it very well. First of all, I think it hurts your ability to get into a rhythm, but Vrabel and they got back to backs. It wasn't strictly flip-flop. They did go with flow of the game a little bit,
yeah,
or if you had a short series and all of that. But Vrabel said, we're looking for a backup quarterback, and backup quarterback's got to be able to come in cold, at random times.
Snap
or whatever.
The fingers. And Tannehill just got hurt. Get out
this
there.
This fits that. So I like it from that vantage point. I don't see why you wouldn't give Levis the opportunity with the best offensive players out of the gate to kind of square things. You want to have an equal comparison to look at these guys, equal body of work. Somebody's going to get more because it's an odd number of games. And so I would think Willis will get more as the incumbent, as the senior guy. But I think Levis should get a turn, and it would make sense that would be in the middle game.
Yeah. And you know, I thought the other day it was going to end up 7-5. I was surprised Willis got, because it was 6-5. I'm like, okay, they'll go 6-6. But they got to see Willis on a drive, and they end up getting the ball back. Now, Willis on that drive had a couple of his best throws of the day, I thought. And then he has Kinsey in the back of the end zone. He's trying to get it over a linebacker, and he sails it. You know, but it was – I still like the play in terms of using his legs, extending, eyes downfield, seeing the right thing. You got to make the throw. But I still thought that was overall a pretty good drive for him.
There was one play, too, like a little earlier where he didn't run and he should have run. And then he came up on that situation and he did run again. So I thought he was doing a better job kind of sorting through that than last year where he was a basket case on those things. Unfortunately for those of us watching a telecast in Nashville, and I know the prayer where you just let another channel take care of the weather situation, we had a weather situation. So my request for Channel 2 is, and to all the channels that are covering a sporting event during weather, is show us a rectangle.
Split screen it?
Yeah, well, I mean, they put the game on, but it was in a square. And sports on TV, we don't watch in a square. We watch in a rectangle. It's not that hard. You can be a rectangle, and that can be a rectangle. You should have this figured out by now. So just go practice in your studio what how you're going to produce it and do better.
And some people on the text line today have talked about also being blacked out on a company I like to talk about on this show, DirecTV. So there was also that for customers of DirecTV.
Well, that's on you. Like if you have a TV setup that doesn't give you a station, that I mean, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, you probably need to adjust to that. I got a question here. Ever seen a third-round rookie on a one-drive pitch count like Tyjae Spears? Thought he'd play more. Well, the first offense was also on a one-series pitch count because it went well, but I wouldn't have played him any much more than that. He got some good work. He looked good. You see what he is. He's going to help this team.
Well, ACL-free guys need to be monitored closely.
Yeah.
I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, right. Well, hey, don't have one. You can't tear one. I've got a Willis thought here on the text we're going to get to coming up next. Robin Rexor, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join 102.5, 106.3 The Game at Door Jam this Saturday, celebrating Vanderbilt sports at the David Williams Recreation Center. The fun kicks off at 2 p.m. and will include autograph sessions, photo booths, and lawn games. Head out there to support Vanderbilt athletics as fall sports return in a few weeks. Welcome back in. Robbie Rexa, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nice to hear some Rush playing. Rush, a much better band than Bush, despite what Paul Kaharsky may tell you.
Everybody hold your nose and sing along. I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. Easy backyard lawn installations that look great and get you maintenance-free. No more fertilizing, no more watering, no more mowing. Check them out at nashville.grass365.com.
No, Nick, he does not have a point. Bush is not better than Rush. My God.
I did not say he was better.
Whether you think Bush is better than Rush or not, we can all agree that Rush, sonically, sucks because the singer sucks.
No.
The singer's
not
awful.
We cannot all agree.
He just sounds a little nasally, PK. It's his own style.
He sounds a lot nasally, and if I wanted to listen to a lot nasally, there would be a lot of nasal singers all over, and there aren't. Because people don't want to listen to nasally singers.
That's absolutely ridiculous. All right, Texter says, is it possible everyone has written Willis off too quickly? He was discussed as a top overall pick last year. Let me jump in on you. Yeah, well, that's true. But, last year was an all-time bad year for quarterbacks.
Yeah. Also, if you're discussed as a top overall pick and you go in the third round, guess what you are? A third rounder.
Yeah. Not surprisingly, when he was forced to play as a rookie, he struggled. It doesn't necessarily mean he can't develop into an NFL quarterback. If he hadn't touched the field last year, everyone would probably still think he was a QB of the future. Well, that is true. I mean, I agree on not touching the field. It'd be a different perception of Malik Willis. Look, I was basically with a lot of other people this offseason like, okay, they drafted Willis or they drafted Levis, and we'll see if Malik Willis can hang around in this league based on what we saw last year. But credit to him. The reason that we have this whole discussion and we have this comparison is because he improved. If he didn't improve a lot, and he had a long way to go, but if he didn't improve a lot, then this would be very simple. We'd just be talking about Levis, and is there any way he's going to be ready to be a Tannehill-level quarterback in 2024? It's a different discussion.
I mean,
now.
In the spring, most of us said the question is, will Malik Willis make the roster? And now I think there's no question that he makes the roster, and absolutely the texter's theme is at play. It's at this stage, it absolutely looks possible that he needed a year to get in a position to start to be a viable candidate for a backup job.
Here is something that I'm glad this was brought up by Sam. I got to say, you get to the second half of a preseason game, you know what you're writing about? I mean, I was not watching closely, but Petit Frere, I did notice, had some rough snaps out there. He didn't look great. I don't want to overreact to that, but.
I think if Petit Frere looked great, that would have been a surprise. I mean, Petit Frere isn't getting a ton of practice snaps. He's playing late in the rotation, and I think you know, I'm not sympathetic because he's screwed up, but he's in a tough spot right now. He played 17 snaps, 23%. He played three special team snaps. That's probably PATs. You know, I don't know what you expect from him right now. It's a very weird no man's land.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where, first of all, regardless of the situation, if you're the Titans, you hope he takes a jump.
You would expect a starting offensive lineman to fare well late.
Against threes, you'd think, okay, a little bit of domination maybe. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. He's getting these sort of – he's getting some reps in practice, but not a ton. They have to get ready. Are you certain that when Nicholas Petit-Frere shows up for Game 7, he's starting at right tackle?
88% certain.
Okay. That is a high number. I mean, I would certainly – I would predict that, but I might be more in the 75 range. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, Chris Hubbard, I mean, given the circumstances and all that has gone on there, Jamarco Jones and then George Fant goes to Houston instead. I mean, given the circumstances, it's actually, to me, it's panning out okay for them. It looks like maybe this is one of the rare in recent years situations of kind of picking up a tackle off the scrap heap, and it might be okay for them.
Based on what?
Well, based on
12 snaps.
No, I mean, even I've watched him a fair amount in practice. I mean, but that's the thing. Serviceable is good. Serviceable is an upgrade.
Well, Petit-Frere should be far better than serviceable in his second year as a third round draft pick.
Right. He should be. Yes, I agree. But what is it like? What does it mean that he is not getting these reps, and then you go through the whole season, and then like, what's the ramp up? And obviously, they have a plan for it because they want him to be able to step in. But I don't know, I'm just saying, Chris Hubbard, like being serviceable, is actually a pleasant surprise, almost, isn't it?
It's a pleasant surprise because your standard has been reduced so fully because their ability to find veteran swing tackles has been so poor since Dennis Kelly, with Kevin Pamphile and Jamarco Jones and Kendall Lamb
was a tough one. Kendall Lamb,
and
great quote,
and of course Mr. Tough. Daly.
Right, exactly. Great quote. Tough for us to lose Kendall Lamb, but yeah, couldn't really play. So I don't know, Chris Hubbard, and then. Yeah, right now, based on the twos the other day, it was not a good day for the twos. I'm not seeing a Rupsich or you know, Jalen Duncan's a rookie, so he came in. It was a bit of a project, right? Kind of a rough go for those guys first time around here.
I've got a funny Rupsich story that I cannot share on the air that I will share during the break, and I'll inform people that there are good stories that sometimes can't make the air.
Yeah, I did not anticipate a great Rupsich story today. Another guy that we've seen, PK, on the sidelines or kind of off to the side, basically see him every day out there, Dylan Radins. Dylan Radins, based on watching these twos and threes, based on everything we know about him, coming off an ACL now, is he a factor for this team this year? Does he get into at least the depth rotation as a guy that they could use in a pinch?
Depends on their health and stuff. I think they hate him, but I think they hate him, but you know, who knows what they need and what he can show them. So you never know. But I think ideally they'd like to not touch him, just like Caleb Farley.
Jimmy says Rush has 24 gold albums, Springsteen 5. Some of us don't mind nasally.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about album sales. Quality is all about what the mass is like.
Also,
I mean, The Bachelor is a very highly rated show, so we know that it's the best show.
I'm just presenting information to you. LD from McMinnville says, holy cow, how unaware can one person be? PK criticizing someone for having a nasal-sounding voice while he has a nasal-sounding voice.
Do you hear me singing?
I was hoping that we would actually get some PK singing before your stretch on Robbie and Rex Road finishes. We were trying to find this. I saw this on SportsCenter yesterday.
It's a complete fail in terms of finding it, in terms of you pointing it out effectively, in terms of Nick finding it.
But I swear it happened. Zero. Yeah, well, apparently, you know, he found it on YouTube that it cut off. So for anybody who watched Sunday Sports Center yesterday, Tim Hasselbeck.
So this is a news flash that somebody still watches Sports Center is big.
Yeah, you know, I woke up in the hotel and I put on Sports Center. You know, what are you going to do? Well, he went through the rookie quarterbacks. He went through Bryce Young, went through Anthony Richardson, who, yeah, pretty rough, some of those reps from Richardson. And they said the disappointment for him was Levis, which I thought was interesting. I mean, especially like relative to Richardson, who, I mean, Richardson had one amazing throw the other day, but boy, did he have a couple bad ones and a really bad pick on an RPO or like, I don't know how you could possibly throw that pass. But he isolated Levis as a disappointment, which of course made me think again, like, I do feel like there, I'm not saying this is Tim Hasselbeck, but I do feel like there's like this waiting for Levis to fail somewhat out in the NFL media circles.
What was the basis for his big disappointment?
Well, just he talked about how, and they showed that last drive. You know, he threw the pick on the last play, but the play before that. Basically, his point was, you know, you don't know if you're going to get these situations in every preseason game. You can't count on it. And he got a valuable situation, and so on that pass to Gavin Holmes, you know, that's where you've got to hit that pass. You got to take advantage, and he didn't. And then again, they showed the pick, and the pick was some kind of a – I mean, it was definitely like Kyrus Jackson was not where Will Levis expected him to be. Whoever's fault that is, I don't know. But, right, there's no way. You know, he turned the route up. But the Gavin Holmes play – so basically that he didn't take advantage of this opportunity. The Gavin Holmes play – I've argued with at least one fan about this. You know, it wasn't. Could it have been caught? I think so. I think if he stretches out, he might be able to catch it. But the bottom line is, if you put that on him, I think he gets in the end zone.
Yeah,
I mean, you gotta. It was a really good job actually of stepping up, you know, and taking, you know, protecting the ball and then stepping up and seeing it and throwing it. You just got to make a better throw.
Just a little more insight into Levis at paulkuharski.com. Blake Benningfield thought he was aiming the ball instead of just throwing it. He thought he was hesitant at times.
His release did look interesting
at times. And that he's a thrower and needs to trust his arm and decisions more than he did. Now, again, first preseason game for a guy who's playing, you know, I'm not going to make an excuse for him about who he's surrounded by because these things to me don't matter in that. It doesn't matter who you're playing with if you're being hesitant or not aiming it, not throwing it, right?
Sure.
Those are things you should be able to do no matter if Gavin Holmes is your receiver or DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes. Like getting sacked, you know, okay. I mean, you can look at that a little bit and say, yeah, you could blame those. I mean, I thought with both quarterbacks, at least a couple of those sacks were like, what are you going to do? I mean, it collapsed on them quickly. Wes in Clarksville. So if they move on from Tannehill next year because they don't want to pay him, Malik continues to progress, looks better than Levis. Do next year you make Malik the starter and Levis the backup? Is it possible next year? Well, it's a competition for QB1, and the loser is the backup.
They're not going to move on from Tannehill because they don't want to pay him. They're going to move on from Tannehill because they think one of these guys is ready to be their starter. I mean, they've got all the hand with Tannehill. His price is going to come down substantially wherever he goes. He's not going to be a $36 million quarterback next year.
But, okay, so, yes. But are they moving on from Tannehill because they're just resetting? You know, like you're saying they're only moving on because they're like, yes, one of these two guys absolutely ready to be starter for a winning football team next year.
A combination of things.
I think they're moving on from Tannehill unless he's so good and they're so good this year that they – well, there's that too, that they can't – like it doesn't make sense to do. But.
Well, you also get into a place where you say the difference between Tannehill and the better of these two guys plus operating on a first-year quarterback salary and the extra cap that gives us – et cetera, et cetera, and you have to play out the whole thing.
Right.
But it's not going to be like, woo, we can be cheap now kind of thing.
Yeah, you still want to – yeah, you want a good person at that job. When we come back, Nick Kieser has the rant today. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Better be good.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side. And sometimes he's just, well – Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Great tune. But it's not the Rex Rant. It's the, what the heck are we calling your rant?
I don't know. You call it whatever you want.
Well, you call it whatever you want. You're the one ranting and playing glorious domination. Do you hate this song too, PK?
It's humorous.
Humorous?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, humorous? You ever say, why don't you say H? Humorous. Not humorous.
It's
humorous.
Efficient. It's efficient. I'm just moving past.
It's a huge problem.
You save zero time whatsoever. But, no.
All right, rant away, Nick Keezer.
You're putting yourself in a dangerous position here if this rant isn't excellent.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I expect it's I not going
pressure
to,
is
and
on.
I expect it's not going to be.
And oh, I, wow, are you kidding me? Ooh. And I have the expectation of someone filling in for a rant.
Whoa.
I'm here consistently. My rant could be about PK. It's not, though. All right, let me preface with this, because I have worked in this industry, not radio, but in the grocery business, okay? Let me just go through this. I'll give you a quick synopsis of why I feel this way. I know that people order things consistently. My intern, Brandon, even does this at work when he is not here at the station for other people that order groceries or whatever they need. So I will name it, PK. I'll go as far as that. Kroger did a pitiful job for me last week. I have nothing but great things to say typically. They ask for coupons. They ask if I need anything else. They go above and beyond typically. But this last week, and Joe, I have not approached about any sort of rant since I've taken over this program over a month ago. Nothing has really come across me to get angry about. I was pissed. There were a couple different instances where I waited about 40 minutes on two separate occasions on you have a window for the next 30 minutes to go get your stuff. I live half a mile away from where I have to go. I have no problem going home to wait if I have to. I don't have a problem sitting there and waiting. If it's 15, 20 minutes, that's fine. But I have a problem when it becomes, oh, you're expected to be here at this time, but your order hasn't even been processed yet. We have not even grabbed any of your groceries whatsoever. That pisses me off. I know as a former grocery clerk with a different company in Publix that it is not as difficult to step up when someone else cannot do something and fill in at times. I am baffled that they did not step up and say something a lot earlier. I have had the call inside, waiting outside, and they go, oh, let me throw you over here. And then I get no one on the line to pick up and actually speak to me. I get on hold for over 2.5 minutes and I go, this isn't worth it. I had to pull aside someone doing their cart duty and said, hey, I've been sitting here for 40 minutes. Can you go ask someone to like get on their like job and actually go get my stuff? Like, I don't know what's going on. I said it a lot nicer to him because it was a younger gentleman. And I said, look, like I've been waiting. And so I'm frustrated. But the story goes, I got more information that they had low management staff at the time. They didn't have anyone really back there doing this service in particular for the last couple of hours for me. And I go get my groceries around 2 o'clock most of the time, I would say. In the afternoon, before school's out for the most part, not that much traffic whatsoever. It is just awful that you cannot step up in the amount of time that you get to, one, prep it, but then, two, this order could be placed in the morning. I have placed orders in the morning when I'm here after I get off with the show or on my way home at times even, too. Then I can go out later after lunch and go get it. But I find it awful that you cannot even let me know that, okay, let's change your time to this. Or if I call in, just go, okay, cool. Well, you know what? We can give you this instead. Or let's substitute this time for the other one. I am very upset at the time that this happened. And I am not interested in giving them more business this way at all. So for the next little bit, until I see some improvement, at the one establishment that I go to that's closer to me for Kroger, I will not be ordering with the service anymore. But I know what it's like. And also, too, I know that in this demographic of work, people are not working in this industry doing grocery or anything else like this as heavily as it was because people don't want to work right now. So I'm just not happy with that. You provide a service, step up, let me know in advance. I would love to continue to use it at some point, but right now I'm not.
Can I offer a few things?
Yeah, I want to too, but go ahead. It may be the same offering.
For your next rant, I would recommend tightening it up a little, and by a little I mean a lot.
That's not my thought. My thought is, and this is exactly what the text line is saying, this is such a Gen Z rant, dude. Go inside and buy your groceries.
Yeah. I usually do.
Also, if you're there for 40 minutes, shop.
I don't mind shopping, PK. That's not the problem. The problem is the service and it being set up.
So it's bad service, but then during the 40-minute wait, simply purchase your groceries.
Is this how you always shop? You do that. You put the order in and you go show up?
Okay. Do you know why I do this? It's because my significant other schedules it for the most part.
Picking your produce.
Your significant other schedules it.
Yes. Okay. I'm not the one that schedules it half of the time.
Why don't you just say, hey, I'd like to go in and because I personally.
Well, that's what I'm doing from now on. That's what my whole gripe was. I'm saying I'm going to go in from now on because I know where things are.
Like,
and that's what I am doing.
I actually I get ripped at home for this because I go like 4 or 5 times a week. I love just going in. Like, I do a lot of shopping like for one meal. Like, hey, I'm going to try this. But I like going in. So
I do too.
I'm sure in the past you've probably had the order wrong, right? I mean, I'm sure they've messed something up.
Not really. Okay. No, I've had substitutes typically. But look, it's not about the length, PK. I think it's more about trying to set my scene for it because at the very end of the day, yes, as a younger person that is a younger adult at this point in time, yes, that is something that's offered. But at the same point in time, if you have the service, I understand going in. I have no problem going in. That's just me, personally.
Yes, the text line is very strongly encouraging you to go in.
Yeah. That's fine. Okay. I realize it.
Give it a shot.
We've come up with a solution.
Give it a shot.
We've
solved it.
All right, there we go. That was the Nick rant, reporter rant, Keezer something. Didn't we have like a Keezer alliteration? We'll figure it out.
I think it's just the reporter rant for the most part.
Speaking of alliteration, Corey Curtis coming up next. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.